Welcome to the Automation World Get Your Questions Answered podcast, where we connect with industry experts to get the answers you need about industrial automation technologies. I'm David Greenfield, Editor-in-Chief at Automation World, and the question we'll be answering in this episode is, what is FDT? And joining me to answer this question is Steve Bagacki, Managing Director of the FDT Group. So thanks for joining me today, Steve.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great to be here. Thanks.
So, you know, let's just, you know, start off, you know, what is FDT? You know, tell us, you know, generally what it is and, you know, a bit about its history.
Yeah, sure. So FDT actually stands for Field Device Tool. And it was a standard that was started probably 20 plus years ago now. And it's actually an open standard. It was created initially to enable multiple devices from multiple manufacturers to become part of a control system without having to have individual tools, if you will, to configure and monitor those devices. So today is an open standard for industrial automation integration of networks and also devices. It's an IEC standard, 62453. It's an ISA standard, 103. It's a Chinese and a GPT standard of 29618. And there are today, I would say, tens of millions of devices installed in the field that actually leverage FDT technology. And it is supported today by all major control system vendors and also device manufacturers.
All right. Thanks for explaining that, Steve.
Yeah.
So, you know, management of plant floor devices, you know, from different technology suppliers is definitely not a new issue for the manufacturing and processing industries. And it's an issue that's, you know, just becoming a bigger issue, you know, growing in importance, you know, with the digital transformation of industry and the introduction of wearables and the greater use of mobile devices on the plant floor. So how is FDT typically used by manufacturers to address this varied device management across industry?
Yeah, so today systems that are based on the FDT standard, and that would be both the devices and the actual control systems themselves that use and embed the FDT specification, can provide their users with an integrated environment or an integrated view of what's going on with all the devices and their systems. They can actually also exchange the information that is going on with those devices with things like mobile devices. You mentioned mobile devices. One of the latest things called out in the latest version of the FDT spec actually provides for the capability to be able to pull up a handheld device or a laptop or your phone, and actually through a web server, be able to see what's really going on with those devices. So we've kind of enabled this whole mobility thing as part of it. So again, devices that utilize the FDT standard now have that capability to go ahead and share that information wherever it's required.
Now, one of the bigger developments to, you know, come out of the device interoperability issue is the push toward the greater use of open systems, you know, supported by groups, you know, like the Open Process Automation Forum and UniversalAutomation.org. You know, how does FDT fit into this?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think one of the great things is that FDT is a real complement to actually those organizations and those standards. Those standards do a really nice job of identifying how control systems would actually go together, how the actual control algorithms and so on would interoperate together, how multiple controllers could be hooked up. But the one thing that the FDT standard does is it actually provides a complement to those systems for the specific purpose of intelligent device management. You know, those control systems only do stuff when they get inputs and outputs that they actually get sensor information or control, you know, whether it's an actuator or a variable frequency drive or whatever it might be as an output. And the FDT standard actually enables that connection through the networks to those actual field devices that then provide the information that can get used by those other open standards in the control system space, whether it be the OPOC standard or the Universal Automation standard.
Okay, understood.
Yeah.
Now, and this one's kind of a personal question from an editorial point of view. Most of the examples that I've seen, around the use of FDT, they tend to be in the processing industries, a lot around the, with heart communication devices, et cetera. But is FDT also applicable in the discrete and batch manufacturing industries?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the initial developments, if you will, of the FDT standard really did come out of the process automation space, right? In support of things, as you mentioned, like heart protocol and from a network communication standpoint. But one of the ways that the FDT standard is actually configured and architected is that it enables us to communicate over multiple standards, so communication standards. So whether that be Profibus, it could be the SIP protocols like DeviceNet, Ethernet, IP, things like that, and even EtherCAT. I mean, so there are other standards, I guess, from a communication standpoint that typically are used maybe some more in some of the more discrete or factory automation applications. So I would say that actually the way FDT is used today, it is able to support both factory automation and process automation because of the way it's put together, because of the networks that it supports, and also the types of devices that it can support. So it's a little broader than just the process automation space.
Okay.
And by the way, I mean, there are process automation applications too that are kind of these hybrid applications that maybe are a mix of both process instrumentation and factory automation type actuators and sensors and things like that. Things like, for example, IO-Link. IO-Link is a lot of discrete, more discrete intelligent type devices, but those could be used, in a hybrid application. So FDT supports both factory and process applications.
All right, thanks for explaining that, because everything that I have seen about it over the years, it seems pretty agnostic in terms of application with that, but I just kept seeing the process industry example. So it got me to start to wonder, and it's like, is it more specific than that or not? But that makes sense. So along those lines, can you share an example or two of FDT's use in specific industry applications?
I think one of the one major applications that it gets used in is with AMS or asset management systems. This is the ability to kind of see what's actually going on with the control system itself and the devices. And then a lot of times, asset management is referred to as, actually monitoring the health and goodness and operation of a device. We think of asset management a little broader than that. And some of the customers that we talk to are trying to actually manage the ultimate asset, meaning, is the process operating right? And by the way, that process is made up of a bunch of different sensors and actuators. So we're trying to provide kind of a unified view of what that asset looks like to make sure that it's operating at peak performance and that it's being the most effective it can be in delivering the results it needs to. So asset management, I guess, is one application that we see the FDT technology used in, where we're, bringing things into that asset management system. The other thing is also, I would say, the ability to just configure something as simple as just configuration of multiple devices in a control system. We have a number of the people we work with and that use the standard, like Pactware, for example, which is a kind of a third-party tool or another type of standard that actually embeds FDT technology into it. And it is able to actually just do basic device configuration of multiple devices from multiple vendors, right? And that's one of the things that I think people like about using FDT is that it provides this kind of unified environment to configure interoperable devices out in the field, although they may come from different manufacturers. So those are just a couple of applications where we see it, used quite a bit.
Yeah, that helps to understand this application, with that, in various environments. Absolutely. So now, we talked a little bit earlier about, FDT, how FDT fits into open automation with the groups involved with that. But, FDT group, I noticed they also you also work with the OPC Foundation, for example, and can you explain how that relationship, how you work together, since you're both focused on industrial device communications and interoperability, where's the overlap and the separation?
Sure. So a couple things. One is I would say that our work today with the OPC Foundation is really around enabling that true seamless connection from the sensor actuator at the plant level, or at the not the plant, but the device level, okay, up through the cloud, if you whatever that is, whatever people are comfortable with. But it's really that integration of kind of the IT OT infrastructure within an enterprise that we're actually collaborating with the OPC organization to enable. Okay. We're, you know, frankly, working on all the device connections and the ability to go ahead and manage intelligent devices on the factory floor. We do have a connection with OPC. And in fact, part of the FTP standard calls for something called an FTP server. And that FTP server actually has an OPC UA server built into it, which does ultimately enable that IT-OT integration. So that's how we're working with them quite a bit right now. We collaborate with them. In fact, at most of the trade shows, you'll find that the FTP group will be part of one of an OPC demonstration. In fact, we'll be showing that at Hanover, how that works. And in fact, taking in other technologies like APL and things like that to actually show that true seamless integration from the plant floor up into the IT and the cloud infrastructure.
Okay, understood.
Yep.
So one last question, Steve. You know, though FDT, you know, it's principally a tool that's used by automation device developers, you know, to implant as part of their product in the way it's able to communicate. You know, but what should end users of industrial equipment know about FDT? How does it matter to them?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing from an end user standpoint is that the FDT standard was built out of end user use cases, frankly. It was not just a technology in search of technology or a cool way to do things. Mm-hmm. It was really built out of, you know, some specific sets of use cases, working with users and user requirements. So I would just say that, you know, I think users that specify control systems that actually embed or use FDT technology or the FDT standard can actually also, you know, make their life easier as the user, because it does enable this unified environment to intelligent device management. It does enable this data sharing up through the IT infrastructure that, you know, for different things that people may want to look at the data and what's happening with the actual devices and the actual sensors on the machines. So it does provide a common environment for the design, configuration, operation, and maintenance of their devices and their related control systems, you know, that it's hooked up to. So I think, you know, again, the thing that makes it easier is to go ahead and just actually request devices that adhere to the IEC 62453 standard or the FDP standard. And I think that they'll see benefits from doing that.
Well, thank you again for joining me for this podcast, Steve. You know, and thanks, of course, to all of our listeners. Please keep watching this space for more installments of Automation World Get Your Questions Answered. And remember, you can find us online at automationworld.com to stay on top of the latest industrial automation technology insights, trends, and news.